something was broken. Hallelujah. But he was laid in the tomb. God came and he pushed all the bones back in. What God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, beloved. What God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Oh, he was all put back as one. Properly, every point joint in place, you know. That's why it says in this Ephesian epistle, compacted by that which every joint supplied. I tell you, there's blessed simplicity and honesty and simply grand of the Bible. Everything is perfect. Put it away. Hallelujah. Click, 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 click. You listen. And you know that great word, don't you, in Isaiah 53, which says that by his stripes we are healed. The Hebrew word for stripes there is scars. That's a wound healed. A scar. Amen. By his healing, that's right, we're healed. A scar. Yeah. Isn't that lovely? Now, isn't God just logical? It's just perfect, you see. You haven't got to strain anything now. It's obvious. You can see it as though it's writing on the wall. And truly it is writing on the wall for false theories. What God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. All the dismembered, disjointed, out this, broken there, lacerated, the mess. Everything was pushed into place. Glory. I was in a mess. I was disjointed. I wasn't integrated. I couldn't make my inner man act according to my mind. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do anything. So cheer up, here's news for you. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Everything was put into its correct relationship and order. Amen. Isn't that lovely? Yeah. Now we're members of this body. The body. Amen. He's the head of the body. The church, which is his body. Do you know and feel that you are part of the church, which is him? Perhaps you expected me to say his body. Well, that's him, isn't it? The church, which is him? Oh, hallelujah. You are part of it. You feel part of it now. You feel his life throbbing through you. I don't say look for thrills like feeling hot and cold or your hair standing up or something like that. That's all I'm talking about. There are the feelings of the inward man. These are the things I'm talking about. The feelings of the spirit. Hey. This moves in the realm of power. Powers. Glory. This is what God wants to understand. Gave him the head over all. He is the head over all. To the church, which is his body. Will you accept him? A gift to the church. Doesn't say, now you would rather have it. It was, the church was given to him. But that's not what the Bible says. Very few people read the Bible. They read what they think it means. Gave him to the church. As though God already had the church. Yeah. That's right. Listen to Jesus. Understand the truth. When he prayed the prayer of his life on the way to the garden, he said, thine they were, Father, and thou gavest them me, and I have kept them. And none is lost, save the Son of Perdition, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. And now, Father, come I to thee. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. Hallelujah. That's it. Gave him to the church. Think of it. Be astounded. Be amazed. So God had you as his priceless treasure and sought something worthy of you to give you such a head. Jesus. You're not only my older brother, Jesus, you're my head. And headship in the Eastern family next to the father is vested in the elder brother. Some of you men, of whatever age you are, whether you're a man or you're a would-be man, you could live in an Eastern family and never take a decision in your life. Either your father does it for you or your older brother. You women are too. A man can live and die and never take a major decision in his life. It's all done by either the father, or when the father dies, the elder brother. He does it all. Hallelujah. The whole family. He's the head. Lovely Lord. The government's on his shoulder. That's right. Everything's right, beloved. The fullness of him. Glory. Jesus as the head. If you may think of him now as one distinct personality, one lonely person in the expanse of time, was without his fullness until he got his body. Think of that. The fullness. Jesus just waited for us, beloved. He was incomplete without us. If you can just think of it now in human terms. We know that in God, of course, he was always complete. And we are complete in him. But the body completes the head, doesn't it? Just as the head completes the body. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. And here, beloved, oh dear, we're not halfway through. Shall I go on? I won't even look at it. This is the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New. The Old Covenant finished up with a headless body, John Baptist. That's right. He was beheaded. And they took his body away and buried it. His body. But the head was preserved in malice and hatred and mockery on a silver platter to fulfill the whims of a dancing girl and her mother. A headless body clothed the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, the head and the body are together. Yeah. The head isn't alive and the body is dead. The head isn't preserved on a golden throne and we're rotting in the grave. We've been raised up together with him, beloved. One body, one life, one Jesus, one whole, one church. One. We're his fullness. Filling all in all. Oh, hallelujah. Then you can't be dissatisfied. Then you're not filled, if you are. You can't be frustrated, then you're not filled. You say, but you see, I've been brought up and I'm teaching that speaks about areas of my life that aren't this, then. Ooh. God deliver you from it. This is the psychological jargon that's being pushed over in the church teaching today. We're raised out of God. Believe in the immensity. Believe in the glory of it. Believe according to this. Not according to people who say this, that, or the other. Believe according to the resurrection. The immeasurableness of it. From right down there to right up there, and right up there, right up there. Only direction, not dimension. There's no measurement. It can't be spanned. Let your heart go! Let your spirit go! For faith and spirit must be identified. Faith is not a mental notion. It is not an emotional experience. Faith is spirit acting. One and the same. That's why you're told you live by faith. Amen. Now the Lord opens up tremendous truth to us. We're Him. We're not just His brothers, we're part of Him. Oh, yeah, this is tremendous. Let's go to chapter 2 now, shall we? And in chapter 2, oh, this is glorious. Let's read this, shall we? That we're told in verse 18, through Him we both, that is Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I want you to notice the conjoining of three great truths here. The city, the household, and the temple. They're all the same. Father's house of many mansions is the city, which is New Jerusalem, which is also the temple, city of the new creation. All right. This was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. They had a skin building, that's it, animal skins, called a tabernacle, that moved into a permanent building made of stones, which of course speaks of the living stones. It's funny how skin can turn to stones, isn't it? That's it. This is the divine alchemy, if we may say so. The way He does it. He envisaged, He foreshadowed it in the Old Testament. Now then, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom is a marvellous thing. In the chief cornerstone, it's a wonderful how He does it. I don't know how God does this, but it's true. All the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we've got brotherhood, body, building. Amen. The building. Now isn't this a tremendous thing? We're born into the family, and we think we're individuals. And then, that has to do with the household idea, you see. Then we're baptized into the body, praise God. And then we know that we belong. We're just belong, we're members, that's wonderful. And now we'll build it. And this time we'll build it together. Build it together. That's a tremendous thing. Have you ever been to a building site? Have you? All over the country you see them. You walk somewhere, you see a great heap of sand, and somewhere you see a great heap of bricks, great heap of this, and then that's all going to be builded together. It looks a hodgepodge, a lot of stuff. You say, well, how in the world are they going to do anything with this? But they do. It all gets builded together by the experts. Amen. And now, beloved, this is what God is telling us. We've got to be built together. So don't you start getting funny ideas of going out on a desert island somewhere. We've got to be built together. So, oh, I can get built up on my own. Can you? You've got to be builded together. God loves this idea of togetherness. Oh, he hates this idea of being peculiar. Build it together for an habitation of God through Spirit. God's going to live in me. God's going to live in me. Now, when I'm in the family, I've got life. When I'm in the body, that is for function. Functional member of the body. When I'm in the temple, that's for worship. Glory, that's for worship. Amen. Habitation of God. Does God live in you? Does everything in you, beloved, does it sort of turn in unto God that's letting in? Can you look through your whole self and see God? Is he the master of your appetites? Is he the Lord of your desires? Is he the saviour of your mind? Is he the prince of power in your will? Do you worship God? The habitation of God by the Spirit. God lives in me. God. Wouldn't you like to be able to say, as Jesus did, and remember, you bear the name of Jesus, I and my Father are one. That's what he prayed, that they may be one, as we, as thou art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one. Just like that. This isn't a sort of an adapted idea of oneness, it's identical. This is what he prayed for. Just like that. I and my Father are one. Oh, glory be to God. My. This is the thrill, beloved. Are you giving yourself to this? Are you? Or are you more concerned with new choruses or something? What are you really concerned with? Are you giving yourself to this? Hallelujah. God living in me. God's permanent residence. His habitation. Glory. And if God's going to be in you, beloved, he's got to live in you. When he lives in you, that's the life of God. This is it. He's reached it. He's reached his objective. And this is what it said in their apostolic doctrine we looked at this morning. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through you all, and in you all. This is what Paul prayed. You see, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, the spirit of revelation and wisdom given to you, that you may be able to acknowledge him, know the Father. Very few people know the Father. You'll hear it in meetings, Jesus, 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 Lord, Lord. I listen till I hear someone say, Father. The crowds outside say, Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus, thou Son of the... You see? Yeah. That's what the devils cried out. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. But who says Father? Only the Son. Now, don't think to promote your image in my eyes if you come and whisper Father near me. I like to do it when you're unconscious. I know what I'm listening for. I know what I'm looking for. Then they talk about the gift of discernment. So, there's a diagnostic position. Hallelujah. Father, the habitation of God. God might see joy. God. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, beloved, you're talking the language of your head now. He says, Father. Amen. And the Spirit in your heart cries, Abba, Father. Habitation of God by the Spirit. Praise Him when He lives there in a loving, adoring, appreciative heart. In an understanding and an enlightened mind. In the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You want to start counting up the seven spirits that are before the throne, hunting for them. Go on it. Get your Bibles and move. So the Lord gives us to understand these great things. It's the place of worship. This holy temple in the Lord. Build it together. Hallelujah. This will make you want togetherness. It may not be under a sort of an official name called Come Together. It may not be under that. But there is a togetherness. And that is not a church, though it call itself a church. But is it here? It's deluded. Amen. There's one thing is certain. There may be divisions among you, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but there aren't any divisions in the church. There aren't any. Not the church, which is his body. Not the church, which is his building. There's one thing that's certain. If the church and Jesus Christ be one, he's not a schizophrenic. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Oh, give yourself over to this, beloved. Let it carry you away. Let it fill your being. Let it do things in your thinking. Let it provoke love in you. Yield to it. It's better than wine. Now then, you see that this building is a preparation for the new creation. It is a city. It is the household. It is the temple. Now, you must look in Revelation 21 and 22 for this. I can't go at that now. I'm only doing this to let you see that all these are one. Because there are some people who've got got an idea that the bride is an elect company out of the elect. But they're one. And I used to hear somebody say this in my early days. I've had to fight through all these sort of theories, just the same as you do. It's good for you. You won't always be in your 20s. Hallelujah. You'll come through them. It's worse still in your teens. But you'll come to it all right. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't get turned aside. I met them all when I was your age. I'm speaking to the young people. I wouldn't like to be as old as everybody in the room. But the whole point is that God wants us to see this great truth and move into it, beloved. I met this thing that there was a group called the Overcomers. And if they were the Overcomers, then they belonged to the bride. They were the out-resurrection from the dead, according to Philippians 3. Have you met this one? If you've been spared this, well, praise God. it was all so wonderful. And my wife and I got our teeth into this at one time, and then we took them out. We decided, well, I did. She can eat tougher meat than I can. I've got a very delicate digestive system. It's wonderful. And we went all through this, and somebody used to say, you see, of course it's different. How can you belong, if you belong to the body, and how can you belong to the bride? A man can't marry his own body. And we thought, yeah, that's right. That sounds right, doesn't it? Yes, it sounds right. A man can't marry his own body. He has to marry somebody else's, doesn't he? Well, that's right. So we thought, yeah, that's right. See, you've got to be careful. These sort of specious things, they don't half sound right to your mind, you see. Sound good and away you go. And I did. I got right on this. But I got so far and then I saw through it all. And all you need to do is to keep reading your Bible. You just keep reading your Bible. This is what I did, you see. And so I saw this and see it to this day, that the city and Father's house of many mansions that Jesus spoke about and the temple are the same as the body and the bride. They are different aspects of the same truth. Hallelujah. And so we come to the fifth chapter, and I see that some of you must be getting very weary. Did I ever tell you the story that once I went to a conference? I'm always in them. I live my life in them. And so if you're thinking of coming to Cliff this year, perhaps you'll change your mind. I finished at Cliff this last year, and I suppose I must have spoken 6 solid hours out of every day in 3 sessions, besides singing and yelling when God delivered people and all sorts of things, and talking to people in between. And by the time I'd finished, I was sore from here right round an area like that. I was really sore. Yeah. So somebody was driving me home in the car, and I sat in the car beside the driver, and behind sat the wife and the 2 sons of the family. And I'm talking to the husband, you see, he's driving. And I said, oh, I'm all sore. Oh, a roar. Oh, right here. A voice from the back seat said, "Yes, I'm all sore. A roar, too." I said, "But you haven't been doing any speaking." Ah, he said, "I'm sore here." That's one against me, isn't it? Yeah. So if you're feeling like that, cheer up. There have been others before you. Well, anyway, we're on the last great theme, and it's a very blessed one, beloved. And he's talking about the church in the fifth chapter. And what a precious revelation it is. He's talking about the bride. This is a great mystery, he says in verse 32. "I speak concerning Christ and the church." Listen to verse 30. "We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." It's a great mystery. A great mystery. But you see, the whole secret is this, beloved, that when God made a man, the first Adam, he made him of dust, he breathed into him the breath of life, he became a living soul. As I pointed out, he hadn't got a soul, he was a soul. You haven't got a soul, you are a soul. Man became a living soul. That's what he became. Praise God. Your spirit, if it becomes conscious, may be able to say, "Why art thou cast down within me, O my soul?" Because your spirit now is alive. And it recognizes the position. But you are a soul. Praise God. And this is so gloriously true. Well, then he said, it's not good for man to be alone when he made Adam. So he put Adam to sleep. And he opens up his side. And he takes out a rib. And of the rib, he builds a woman. That's your actual word. Talk about builded, which is the word edification that's used in Scripture, built up. He built a woman from that bone. Bone of my bone, flesh of his flesh. All right. He built a woman, and he built Eve from that bone. And they were together as man and wife. And actually, Adam married his own body.
Amen.
He married his own flesh. Now, that's forbidden in earthly. See, so when people come out with these ideas, it's simply because they're thinking earthly things. It's carnal. So say, "But they're filled with the Spirit." Yeah, are they? Who said so? It's a maintained fullness. It isn't you relying on "I was filled yesterday" or "baptized in the Spirit last year." That's why he's careful to say in the fifth chapter, before he opens this mystery, "Be being filled with the Spirit all the time." That's the Greek. You'll never get this if you don't. He'll say, "Now you're baptized in the Spirit." No. He says, "You be filled with Spirit now. Come on, be filled with the Spirit now. Be filled with Spirit now. I'm going to launch a big mystery onto you." And stagger your mind. You'll never understand it. Jesus Christ actually marries his own flesh. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In other words, all these pictures of oneness. They're all established from God. We can talk about a building with a habit, an inhabitant, a body with a head, a family, and a home. You can think of a bride and a husband too. They're all one. They're all one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And O John says, I, John, I saw the bride, New Jerusalem, that's the city, coming down from heaven. The bride adorned for her. That's the temple city of the new creation, in which all the worship, the central worship of the new earth and the new heaven, is going to be conducted under Melchizedek, our husband, our elder brother, our head. Our chief cornerstone. And it's all going to be conducted under him. Glory. In resurrection, life, and glory. And we're going to be married to him. Amen. Can you imagine it? Go on, let your imagination go. Get it right off male, female. That's got nothing to do with it. That's all part of a dead and finished creation. Served its purpose. Hallelujah. But spiritually, married to my Lord, forever and ever and ever. Love, this is, of course, isn't it? This is union. This is the union. You can call it romance if you like. This is it. Now you've got to be on that. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, married to him. Is there any other relationship you'd like to take up with regard to him? Here then is his church. And in that day, the church is the great jewel of the new creation. She is the great golden bride. She is the wonderfully adorned one. She is the one of simplicity, openness, glory, clarity, purity. Read all the adjectives used about her in Revelation 21 that all describe her. Right at the center is the throne, the Lord God Almighty and his Lamb, and down her golden throat runs the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all so precious. Amen. And out of her belly, if I may say, is flowing the river of living water. Praise God. On either side of the river is there the tree of life, which bears 12 manners of fruit. Amen. Its leaves are for the healing of the nation. Oh, it's all so marvelous. Everybody has a clear view of the throne. Everybody has a clear view. Oh, it's so marvelous. And there he is, in the bosom of his Father. Praise God. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. Father, Son, the Bride, and the Spirit. They're all there. And that's what it's going to be, beloved. And if you don't forsake everything for this, beloved, you'll not get there. And if you put any other love or any other person in front of him, you'll not get there. Amen. And if you start defiling yourself, you better get clean quick, or else you'll never be in it. That's what the book says. Amen. Praise God. Lord, keep us there, spotless, undefiled. This inheritance, I don't want it to fade away from me. I want it to be there in my heart. Oh, at times, let your mind range over this. Let your heart go out to your husband. Love him. Love him in your heart. Love him into your being. Know that you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Eat his flesh. Drink his blood. Be of his substance. Know you come forth from his bone, for the word of God divides between joints and marrow of the bones, where the life seed comes from. You gotta be there. The womb of God gotta come from. Gotta belong to the family. Gotta belong to the body. Gotta belong to the temple. You've gotta be belong to the bride. Here is Jesus' heart made bare. Here it is opened unto you. Paul says, this revelation wasn't known. Oh, the bride was prefigured. Israel was called God's wife. He said, I was a husband to her. I took her by the hand to lead her out of Egypt, and she broke my covenant. She was unfaithful. Therefore I overthrew them in the wilderness. And away it goes. If you break the covenant, this bridal glorious covenant, you'll feel all overthrown in the wilderness. You will. You can't move from it. I want to tell you that all spiritual, psychological, mental, neural, emotional things of true personality and nature are pictured in the Old Testament and emblazoned across its pages. If you want an analysis of human personality, don't turn to Freud or Jung. Turn to your Bible. You'll know more than your teachers. That's what David says. By thy word I know more than my teachers. That's what David says. Do you believe that? Get down to it then. Get down to it. God wants us to enter in. Have you really entered in? Now, how far have you entered? How far have you gone? Have you gone right in? Listen. I think we may have to defer the bread and wine till tomorrow night. I warned this morning. Doesn't matter. We can have it if we want. We feel this is right. We're not worshipping emblems. Now, each one of you, are you born? Are you a brother to Jesus? Would you love to own him as your brother? My own brother. Glory be to God. Shall I say, if I may use it rightly, to be proud of him? Glory to God. He makes all my decisions for me. Don't you know that all the decisive powers of the human personality are in the brain? And that's in the head. It's all my decision for me. He tells me what he wants.
I just obey.
I'm part of his body. He just thinks and wills and I move. Praise God.
Is that right?
Be careful there, because he'll move you out of a lot of things you're in, perhaps. Or move you into a lot of things you're out of. And now, functional and marvelous. And are you, beloved, in this place of just worship and adoration? Are you building together? And are you totally in love with Jesus? Listen. A man left his father, left his home, and left his mother for you. His name was Jesus. He left heaven. He left father in that sense. His father was always with him spiritually. And he left mother Mary, and he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And he sought thee to a cross. Now you've got to lead your father and mother and everything for him, unless you're not worthy of him. Got to leave it all. So no matter who he is, leave him. Leave him. Doesn't matter who she is, leave her. Now, forsake her. On the spot. You've got to get here to spiritual reality and truth. Amen. Mary. Come on, let's have a time with the Lord. Mary.